Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5 in your Bibles, please. Matthew chapter 7. I preached on verse 1 last week, that very short and simple verse that says, "Judge not that ye be not judged." And then last Sunday night I went to verse 2, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." This morning I'd like to preach on verses 3 to 5. And if you're there, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3, please follow as I read. Jesus said, "And why beholdest thou the mote?" A mote is something like a little speck, like perhaps a little splinter that somebody might get in their eye. How many noticed my eye was bad this morning? Has anybody noticed? Vince Ellis, you know, he walked up to me and said, "Ooh, I can't look at that. You know, I'm not going to be able to look at you this morning." Well, all I've got is an allergy problem, and I feel like I've got a little splinter in my eye. It's just, I hope it doesn't bug you like it bugs me. But something is in my eye, it feels like. That's the mote. "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam?" Now, that word beam is exactly what it's saying. Can you imagine somebody with a log protruding out of their eye? A log. Now that's a hyperbole, but Jesus is making a point. "Considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote, that little splinter that's in your eye, and behold, a log is in your eye." What does Jesus call him in verse 5? "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." I asked the question last week, and I'll ask it again this morning. Why is it that Christians are silent when it comes to the sin that we see in our society today? Why is it that Christians, those who know the Word of God, say nothing? Why is it that Christians are not judging righteously? Perhaps it's because they are not able to see clearly the issues themselves. Why? Because many times Christians are doing the very same thing. They are guilty of the same thing. This chapter, Matthew chapter 7, is about judgment. And in verses 1 through 6, it's talking about the judgment of self. That is, that you should judge yourself before you seek to help somebody else. And then you see what it says in verse 5? "Then shalt thou see clearly." The point is, many do not see clearly. And so I want to preach this morning about 20/20 vision. We have studied verse 1, the motive of the judge. It doesn't say that no one is to judge. That's what people will typically say, that no one is supposed to judge. That is not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, judge not in order that you are not judged. He's talking about motive, because he goes into verse 2 and says, "For what the judgment that you're going to judge somebody else with, they're going to turn right around and judge you by the same standard." There is the measure of the judge. So we see the motive and the measure of the judge in verses 1 through 2. That's the reciprocal nature of judgment. When you judge somebody else, naturally they're going to turn around and judge you. And that's why Jesus talks in verses 3 to 5 about the introspective nature of judgment. You ever met somebody who's really introspective? They're constantly looking inside themselves and they're constantly depressed because of what they see there. And so we go the opposite of extreme and we never look at ourselves and ask God to examine our hearts. We should at times be introspective. We should take a look inside and see what's there. But we're so busy looking at people and other people and seeing what they have wrong with their lives that we never stop and say, okay, what about me? I need to look inside here. I need to see what's in my own heart. And so verses 3 to 5, folks, is the introspective nature of judgment. And I ask you this morning to be introspective. to look inside. It's self-examination. It's inspecting yourself. A judge who is a hypocrite is asked two questions with an instruction in verse 5. The reason I'm saying a judge was a hypocrite is because Jesus tells this person, "You hypocrite," in verse 5. Can you imagine somebody calling somebody a hypocrite today? I mean, right to their face, "You hypocrite." We're going to talk about that word hypocrite in a minute, but one of the meanings of it is this: two-faced. You know what? When you're talking to these people, you're saying one thing. When you talk to these people, you say another thing. You're one thing to these people, you're another thing to these people. You're a hypocrite. You're two-faced. And that's what Jesus calls this man that we're talking about here, this figure in verses 3 through 5. Here's the first question that Jesus asks, and it's a question of focus in verse 3. Why? Why? Why do you behold, why are you beholding the mote that is in your brother's eye? Now, let's talk about the size of the obstruction. It's a speck. It is small. It is a small piece of straw, a small piece of chaff. Do you know what chaff is? When the combines are going through the wheat field and they're picking up the wheat, it's going through and it goes through the bins and it's separated, and then out at the back of that combine is all this chaff. And what happens to that chaff? It literally just blows. It is so light, it is so small that the wind can take that chaff and just go with it. It's one of those small little pieces of chaff that is in your brother's eye. In fact, you can't even see it. I went to the optometrist Friday to have him take a look at my eye. He got up real close. But then he said, "Now put your head in this little machine." And I put it in there. And then he takes this, I know you know what I'm talking about. Then he shines this light right in your eyeball. And your eyes, my eye is watering. And he says, "Now look over my shoulder." Then he starts using all these terms that I've never heard. You know, "Well, the blah, 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 blah is okay. And the blah, 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 that looks fine." And then he says, "Now, look straight at me." And then the blah, 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 blah is good. And the blah, blah, blah is fine. He says, "You know what? You've got an allergy." I thought I had pink eye. I wasn't supposed to touch anybody. He says, "You've just got an allergy." But he looked right in there. And he had to take this instrument to look at very closely because it was so small. The location of the obstruction in this passage is in the brother's eye. You know something? The most critical people very often are those people who, by their own measure, have no right to judge. This happens in churches all the time. It happens outside the church. It happens with people in the church judging those outside the church. It happens to those outside churches looking inside of the churches and judging people. Here we've got the man who's got the mote. We've got the man who's got the beam. Let's just call him Mr. Mote, Mr. Beam, okay? Just for the sake of clarity here. You never can tell when Mr. Beam is going to show up for church. But he expects Mr. Mote to call him when he doesn't show up. Mr. Beam takes no initiative for doing any work during the week to grow in Christ, like attending Sunday school. But then he will criticize the pastor because "I'm not growing and I don't understand the Bible and I don't understand the position the church is taking on this issue." Mr. Beam won't come to prayer meeting, but he's offended if no one prays with him in the hospital or starts a prayer chain for him. Mr. Beam is offended that people don't approach him. But he never takes the initiative to approach somebody else. These are just illustrations of what we do in judging other people. Why is Mr. Beam like this? Perhaps it's because at one time Mr. Mote pointed something out in his life that needed correcting. And ever since then, Mr. Beam has been looking for an opportunity to find fault with Mr. Mote. You know, we're caused to think today that it is the saints, it is the Bible thumpers who do all the judging. By the way, just the fact that somebody calls you a Bible thumper is a judgment on their part. But to the contrary, folks, most of the judging today is by the wicked who preach that you're never supposed to judge. Maybe politics isn't the best thing to talk about, but this is such a good illustration. Rush Limbaugh, a few weeks ago, months ago, or whatever, perhaps you read about this, called a woman a name. As far as I'm concerned, it was a very appropriate name for her. All of the news media that endorses all kinds of deviant and perverse lifestyles attacked him and judged him. The very thing that they say he's not supposed to do to her, they all did to him. Why do you overlook, it says, Jesus says, why do you behold the mote that is in your brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or literally, why are you overlooking what's in your own eye? The size of the obstruction in the eye of the person who's doing the judging is a log. Jesus is pointing out that his focus is absurd. Both of them have something in their eye. Both of them need help. Both negatively affect eyesight. But sometimes, isn't it interesting that we have the ability to see past, to overlook in order to take the attention off of ourselves and focus on somebody else? To judge somebody else in order that I, hopefully, might not be judged, contrary to Jesus' command in verse 1. We easily see things in the lives of others that we ourselves are guilty of. Go with me, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 12 for an illustration. 2 Samuel chapter 12. David has committed a sin. He is overlooking his sin. And the Lord sent Nathan the prophet unto David, it says in 2 Samuel 12:1, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that which was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled. David's the guilty one here. David's the one with the log in his eye. And David's anger was greatly kindled against this man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thou art the man. And David pointed out, and Nathan pointed out in David's life, David, you've got a log in your eye. We can be so focused on the wickedness around me that we ignore the wickedness in us. We tolerate in our own lives what we cannot stand in the life of someone else. Parents want their kids to be in church, but then they don't go to church. Parents don't want their kids to use foul language, but then they use foul language. Parents don't want their kids to drink alcoholic beverages, but then they do it. Parents don't want their kids to smoke, but then they do it. Parents get on their kids for speeding, and yet they speed. They don't want them to listen to rock and roll music, and yet they listen to it just with good words, contemporary Christian music. Why is it that I'm able to see something so small and distant without noticing something so large and near? It's my focus. And Jesus is having a question of focus there. Why? In verse 3. Then he comes to the next question in verse 4. It's the question of credibility. How? How can you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, a log is in your own eye. There's two questions about credibility here. Number one, what is your motive? Let me pull the mote out of thine eye. Wait, with a beam in your own eye? Why are you so focused on the speck that is in my eye? Are you really concerned for me? That's a question of motive. And secondly, what is your ability? Jesus says, behold, a beam is in thine own eye. How are you able to perform a delicate operation on me when you can't see because of the big log that's in your own eye? Folks, if I'm going to have a doctor work on my eyes, I want him to be able to see clearly. Because my eye is a very delicate instrument. And I want him to be able to see exactly what's wrong. But if he's got a big problem with his eyes, if that optometrist Friday had been blind, I would not want him looking in my eye because he can't. Paul uses the same reasoning when he talks about the qualifications of a pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. He said that a pastor ought to be someone who ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And then he makes this statement, "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" It's the same argument Jesus is making here. How can he take care of the church of God? So here's something that people can do, is they can look at my family and they can judge me. And I should be up to this because the qualifications are listed right there in 1 Timothy chapter 3. But when your own children are not right, let me ask you, if there's a speck in mine, is there a beam in yours? The typical response when somebody points out a fault in your life is what? Well, look at you. What gives you the right to speak? It's interesting today in our society, folks, how this group of people is accusing this group of people when both of them are wrong. I mean, you've got this homosexual crowd accusing people of adultery and divorce over here. Wait, no, wait. Somebody's got a beam and somebody's got a speck here. And are they pointing this out because they're really concerned? Are they really interested in improving the institution? They're judging the institution of marriage. I read an article that once said this: what they really want is to replace traditional families with something altogether different. They don't really weep over their broken homes and the children of divorce. They simply want the focus taken off of them. Now, I want you to note the first words of verse 5. In fact, in the original, the very first word of verse 5 is the second word you find in the King James. It's the word hypocrite with an exclamation point. Hypocrite. Jesus declares them hypocrites. Hypokritos. It's where we get our word hypocrite, is this very word that Jesus says. Hupa means from beneath. Kritos is to judge. You know what a hypocrite is? It's somebody who judges from down here below to somebody up here. That's a hypocrite. But if he can always find fault with somebody up here, even if it's a little speck, then he doesn't expect them to come back and say something about him. So those with the wood beam are judging the ones with the speck. And this is not to excuse the one with the speck. If you've got a speck in your eye, it's affecting your vision. You need to take care of it. But what Jesus is pointing out here is this. Typically what happens, it's the beamers who are judging the speckers. The morally degenerate are constantly seeking to judge from below those who have nothing but a little speck in their eye. Why? To draw attention away from themselves, they who really have a big problem. And so we come thirdly to an act of correction. In verse 3, you've got a question of focus. In verse 4, a question of credibility. Now in verse 5, you've got an action of correction. Jesus now says, hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. So here's the instruction. Cast it out. Two times Jesus says, cast out or expel. Both have something in the eye. And he first says, correct within. He says, first expel the beam. Instead of correcting yourself, it's easier to tolerate the speck in somebody else's eye. Thus, you can excuse in your own life whatever you want to excuse. But Jesus here, folks, is admonishing detection and correction in both of them. That's further proof that this passage does not prohibit judging. What was the burden of the Old Testament prophets? Not only to detect what was wrong, but to preach correction. To preach repentance. It's the same message Jesus came preaching. Folks, the purpose of scrutiny should not only be detection, but also correction. He who has indeed first examined himself, introspection, will be concerned to correct someone else. Mark my word. Sometimes people tolerate deviancy in the lives of others because they are tolerating deviancy in their own life. Today we're so focused on ourselves and our own problems that we are of no good to others. We need to take the necessary steps to correct the problem so that we can do as Jesus says, then you will see clearly. Then you can judge. Then you can judge. Then you can see clearly. The church can be so focused on the wickedness around us that we ignore the wickedness among us. A believer can be so focused on the life of somebody else that they forget to look at themselves. Correction within, and then correction without. The correction within is when Jesus says, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. And then the correction without is, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Do we often admit our own faults and pray for our brother to see his fault? If I as a believer am right with God and I'm living as I ought to live, should I never say something to a brother who's got a beam in his eye? Should I say, well, no one's perfect and so I have no right to say anything? Should I join a monastery and take a vow of silence and become a mystic and sit around and do nothing about helping other people in their lives? Today, what people think is helping another person is helping them with their food and helping them with clothing and so forth. And that's helping them. But how much more help is it when you help somebody spiritually so that their spiritual life will correct the fact that they're lazy and they don't work? Then shalt thou see clearly. See clearly for what? To cast that little speck out of your brother's eye. That is the restoration of Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Believers are to be restoring other believers. That takes judging. But it first requires that I judge myself first. And that's humbling. Consider this interpretation. See if this interpretation is right. I'm going to read you what somebody said once about this verse. He said this, if I see the mote in your eye, it means that I have a beam in my own. Is that true? Oswald Chambers said that. In My Utmost for His Highest. Really a pretty good book. But when I read that, I said, that is wrong. That is wrong. If I see the mote in your eye, it means that I have a beam in mine. What he's advocating there is never judging somebody. And the fact that I can see a speck in your eye means I have a beam in mine? Jesus says, I can clearly see the speck after I remove the beam. The principle Jesus is teaching is not that I am to be blind, that I'm to blind myself to evil. Rather, when I see it in somebody else, help them with it, but make sure you don't excuse yourself first. It does say in verse 5 that after I judge myself, I can then properly judge my brother. Then shalt thou see clearly to cast out. Correcting our own faults not only gives me credibility, listen, it gives me compassion. Because I know what it's like to have something in my eye. Does anybody feel for me this morning with my eye? Do you have any compassion on me? That's not why I'm saying this. It's a matter of illustration. But you know what it's like when you see something and when something is in somebody's eye. It's like Vince said, I can't look. Because it makes your eyes water. Well, if you want to really help that person, first get that beam out of your own eye. So that you can get up real close and say, hey, I see something. I see it. Let me get that out for you. We have a responsibility, folks. Our responsibility is to judge. Righteous judgment. To judge. Not to take the scrutiny off myself, but to help others. But that requires that I meet the standard I uphold for others. If I look past the beam in my own eye to focus on the speck in my brother's eye, Jesus says, why? And if I say I desire to pull the speck while I am obstructed with the beam, Jesus says, how? If I'm going to be an effective ambassador for Christ, I must first judge myself so that I can bring glory to His name. Then I can clearly see to help a world that is in need. And I will see clearly a world in need. I ask you this. If you judge others and you don't even know Christ is your Savior, if you look at Christians, you say, well, look at them. You know what? Christians are not perfect. I am not perfect. And you know what? You watch me long enough, you're going to find something in my life. It's not going to take long at all. You will find something. But mister, ma'am, I ask you this. First of all, what about that log in your eye? That's what Jesus is asking here. What about that log in yours? If you judge the church to be full of hypocrites, ask yourself, am I a hypocrite? I challenge you to take your eyes, take your focus off of other Christians who still have a sinful nature and put your focus on Jesus Christ. You know what's going to happen when you put your focus on Jesus Christ? You're going to find out that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you can never match that perfect standard. It is that perfect standard that is required for you to go to heaven. You say, well, Christians aren't perfect. That's right. But you know what Christians are trusting in? They're trusting in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ in their behalf. A Christian is somebody who says, I'm not perfect. In fact, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to die. But I know that Jesus Christ paid the price for my sin. And I want to put my full faith and trust in what Jesus did for me. And the Bible says, His righteousness becomes mine. What about you? What about your life? Can you first judge yourself this morning? Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes as we think about that. Can we first judge ourselves? While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed,